I hope you're enjoying a very Merry Christmas, and as 2016 is almost upon us, I thought it'd be a good time to reflect back on some of this year's jazz highlights that we've featured on Jazz Lineup and revisit some of the standout releases from 2015. We also look back on some of the memorable moments we've had over this past jazz-packed year. But let's get started with one of my favourite CDs released in 2015 from guitarist John Scofield, whose style has been influencing jazz since the 1970s, and he's still going strong. A masterful improviser, Scofield has recorded over 30 albums as a leader and has collaborated with some of the most legendary names in jazz, including pianist Herbie Hancock and bassist Ron Carter. But bringing back his lineup from 1990, which is Joe Lovano on sax, Bill Stewart on drums, and Larry Grenadier on bass, this is from his September release, Past Present, and it's Slinky.
Thank you.
out on the Impulse label. That was Slinky, played by guitarist John Scofield, taken from his release Past Present, and a great vibe to start the show with. Well, let's hear something now from another September release and her much-anticipated album called Seaside. It's the multi-award-winning singer-pianist Leanne Carroll. It was great fun collaborating with Leanne on a special programme celebrating Billie Holiday's centenary on BBC Music Jazz, which was a brand new pop-up station that was on air to tie in with this year's London Jazz Festival. BBC Music Jazz featured jazz masterclasses and a beginner's guide to jazz and masters of improvisation with Julian Joseph and guitarist Martin Taylor, amongst many other programmes which you may have heard. Well, Leanne's CD was greeted with much critical acclaim, and rightly so. So here she is singing the title song, which captures her love of being by the coast and of her hometown of Hastings. This is Seaside.
Watch it come and watch it go. The wind may whine and the snow may snow. I'll be there, the usual place. Look out for me, look out for me. Battered fish, battered hands, weathered by this wonderland. Just throw a stone and say a prayer, the skies will fade to take the air. Come kiss me quickly, we might not have long before all this is washed away. Come kiss me quickly, return every year, same time, same place, same you, just see.
Come kiss me quickly, we might. from the city that hurts and mocks. I'm standing alone by the desolate docks in the still and the chill of the night. I see the horizon, the great unknown. My heart has an ache, it's as heavy as stone. Will the dawn coming on make it light? I cover the waterfront. I'm watching the sea. Will the one I love be coming back?
Couldn't resist the connection there, pairing up Billie Holiday's I Cover the Waterfront with Leanne Carroll's title track from her latest album, Seaside. And that track was composed by the gifted singer, pianist and songwriter Joe Stilgo, who you may have heard on BBC Radio 3's broadcast of Jazz Voice last month, marking the opening concert at this year's London Jazz Festival. It's also worth seeking out Joe's gorgeous version of Brian Wilson's I Just Wasn't Made for These Times, which we spun this year, which incidentally features a duet with the great Leanne Carroll. Well, another artist finding inspiration in the music of Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys this year was pianist Brad Meldow. This is taken from his 8 vinyl box set, which was released in October on Nonesuch Records. The music has been chosen from 19 live recordings made over a decade of solo concerts around Europe. God only knows.
Thank you.
The one and only Brad Meldow recorded in Vienna back in 2011 with his unique treatment of the Beach Boys song God Only Knows, taken from his box set called 10 Years of Solo Live, which is out now. Another singer who celebrates her 100th anniversary this year, and perhaps has been slightly overshadowed by Billie Holiday, is the iconic French cabaret singer, songwriter and actress Edith Piaf, who was born on the 19th of December 1915. As well as being known as one of France's greatest international stars, she was affectionately nicknamed Little Sparrow and had a tragically early death at the age of 47 from liver cancer. Well, a mammoth box set was released this autumn, which included 350 tracks from this legendary figure. So from the compact 2CD version of the release, let's hear the classic track really strongly associated with her, and it's La Vie en Rose.
Des yeux qui font baisser les miens, un rire qui se perd sur sa bouche, voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, qu'il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. C'est lui pour moi, moi pour lui dans la vie. Il me l'a dit, l'a juré pour la vie. Des nuits d'amour à plus finir, un grand bonheur qui prend sa place, des ennuis, des chagrins s'effacent, heureux, heureux, en mourir. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. C'est toi pour moi, moi pour toi dans la vie. Tu me l'as dit, alors je sens dans moi mon cœur qui
the unique sound of Edith Piaf and La Vie en Rose, taken from the 2015 box set, which celebrates her centenary year. Quite a year for singers and centenary celebrations. But one of the many great things about working on Jazz Lineup is we get to record some of the most exciting concert performances around the UK. This year, we recorded a diverse range of artists, including progressive jazz trio Go-Go Penguin, Norwegian sax master Marius Neset in a duo setting with tuba player Daniel Herskedal. We also had a very special homecoming performance featuring New York-based saxophonist Joe Temperley when he returned to Lochgelly in Fife to play an intimate duo set with fellow Scot the pianist Brian Kellogg. We also captured the high energy of Loose Tubes at the Sage in Gateshead, and we connected with a great lineage of jazz at the Edinburgh Royal Lyceum Theatre when we recorded a fine set with the son of John and Alice Coltrane, saxophonist Ravi Coltrane. Worth checking the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website for photo galleries and videos documenting some of those sessions. Another saxophonist and one of this year's most highly anticipated performances was when American sax man Kamasi Washington took to the stage at this year's London Jazz Festival. Well, part of that set was broadcast on BBC Music Jazz, and you'll be able to hear the set in full early into 2016 on Jazz Lineup. But from his highly acclaimed triple album called The Epic, which was another great release from 2015, here's Kamasi with his reinvention of Debussy's Clair de Lune. Thank you. Kamasi Washington with Claire de Lune, taken from an album which no doubt has appeared in many end-of-year polls. Released on Flying Lotus's Brain Feeder Records, it's called The Epic. You're listening to a special end-of-year edition of Jazz Lineup with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3, looking back at some of the jazz highlights of 2015. I mentioned earlier Jazz Lineup were lucky to record one of the UK's best-loved big bands in concert, Loose Tubes. That was part of our BBC Music Day celebrations on Friday the 5th of June 2015. BBC Music Day brought people across the UK together, across generations and communities, through their love of music. The legendary big band Loose Tubes were active during the mid to late 80s, and they reformed in 2014 to celebrate their 30th anniversary. As well as each of their concerts being a highly joyous affair, the band was the main launchpad for the careers of many future leading jazz players, including saxophonists Ian Ballamy and Mark Lockhart, and the pianist Django Bates. In early September, Loose Tubes released Arriving, which was their third release, which featured music from the group's final week at Ronnie Scott's in London before they split back in September 1990. But also on the recording, there's some new pieces commissioned by Radio 3, recorded at the same club, but as part of their reunion in 2014. So from that CD, here they are, back in 1990 at Ronnie Scott's, and it's Eddie Parker's Children's Game. Thank you. taken from their album called Arriving. That was the track by Eddie Parker called Children's Game from the much loved Bunch, who are, of course, Loose Tubes. Well, another hugely enjoyable part of presenting Jazz Lineup is the chance to interview some really amazing musicians and get a deeper insight into their music making. The standout interviews for me would definitely include chatting to the charismatic singer Madeline Bell about working with Ray Charles and Dusty Springfield, talking to the effervescent singer-songwriter Joe Stilgo about his new album, New Songs for Old Souls, and plus the interview with one of my personal favourites, the Grammy-winning vocalist Kurt Elling, where we talked about his latest release, Passion World, which is a literal jazz trip through various international music forms and reflects Kurt's multicultural life on the road. It also showcases him singing in four languages, no less. Well, Kurt studied in Scotland for a while during his student days and has over the last couple of years formed really strong ties to Tommy Smith's Scottish National Jazz Orchestra, and he often appears in concert with them as their special guest vocalist. Here he is singing a traditional Scottish song taken from the album Passion World, and this is the haunting Loch Tay Boat Song.
When I've done my work of day and I row my boat away down the waters old Loch Tay as the evening light is fading and I look upon Ben Lore's where the afterglory glows and I think on two bright eyes and the merry mouth below. She's my beauteous neon rose, my joy and sorrow too, and although she is untrue, well, I cannot live without her. My heart's a boat in tow, and I'd give the world to know why she means to let me go as I sing her. Thank you. dress is fair from Killeen to Aberfeldy. Be they lint, white, brown, or gold, be they blacker than the slow, they are no more worth to me than the melting flake of snow. Her eyes are like the gleam of the sunlight on the stream, and the songs the fairies sing seem like songs she sings at milking. But my heart is full of woe, for last night she bade me go, and the tears begin to flow as I sing her.
The unmistakable voice of Kurt Elling with the Loch Tay Boat Song, taken from his release this year, the very well-received Passion World. And what a great guest Kurt was on the show as well. Well, I'm Claire Martin, looking back at some of the jazz highlights we've featured on Jazz Lineup this year on BBC Radio 3. In 2015 on Jazz Lineup, we've brought you interviews and music from some of the greatest names in jazz, including the saxophonist Bobby Wellens. We talked to the guitarist Mike Stern, James Taylor Quartet, and also the pianist Chick Corea and Zoe Rahman. It's also been exciting to be able to give new and emerging jazz talent a platform on our show via BBC Introducing. Plus, this year we brought some new names to our programme, including our now regular contributor Phil Smith, who's our man in Europe, and jazz journalist Sebastian Scottney became our reporter in the UK. Together, Phil and Sebastian brought us stories from finding connections with the Berlin Wall and jazz to exploring sporting links between cricket and jazz. Seb also uncovered stories from jazz communities around the UK, including reports from St Ives and Birmingham, and you may have heard Phil's feature last week on our special edition for Radio 3's Northern Lights season, featuring musicians from Canada and Norway. You can still hear that report via the BBC iPlayer, as well as many of the other Northern Lights programmes. 2015 was also a year tinged with some real sadness as we lost some great jazz giants, including pianist John Taylor and bassist Coleridge Good, both of whom we'll hear later on the show. And very recently we lost the legendary jazz vocalist and one of my most favourite singers, the inspirational Mark Murphy. I've dipped into the Jazz Lineup archives to revisit a really special event we recorded at Morley College in London back in 2012 with the man himself, accompanied by his much-loved pianist, who also sadly died very soon after we recorded the programme, George Mesterhazy. I was invited by the college and vocalist Jill Manley to host this unique event, which was really to give their students a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to hear Mark sing and also ask him questions about his art. There was also a panel of jazz luminaires there for the afternoon, including the great vocalists Norma Winston, Curtis Stigers, Ian Shaw and Pete Churchill, and we were all there to hear Mark sing and even ask him some questions about his approach and technique. It was a very special afternoon, and Mark moved us all to tears with his beautiful free spirit, his inspiring singing, and his insightful answers to the questions he was asked. And also we found out so much more about his life and his early career during the afternoon we had together. Before we hear that special session, let's hear Mark Murphy now from back in 2001 from his album Lynx. And here he is with Dave Frischberg's Wheelers and Dealers.
All the dreamers ran out of dreams, and nothing feels the same. It's such a pity, it's such a shame. But the wheelers and dealers are hanging and tough, and keeping an eye on the action, walking and talking and moving that stuff, and feeling a fast satisfaction. Wheeling and dealing in various large and small things, lying and stealing and letting the chips to fall, ceiling and knowing the price of all things and the value of nothing at all. Sure, is little wonder we're insecure. Just open up your eyes. It's like the sweepstakes without a prize. But the wheelers and dealers are doing their thing and telling us everything's rosy. The Lord only knows what tomorrow may bring, and don't anybody get nosy. For wheeling and dealing in various large and small things, lying and stealing and letting the chips just fall. Signing and sealing and knowing the price of all things and the value of nothing at all.
Zooming off to the moon, like pioneers will roam, to find some peace up there,
make a home. Oh, but the wheelers and dealers are getting there first and setting up shop in the craters. To feed beyond hunger and drink beyond thirst, and those who oppose them are traitors. A wheeling and dealing in various large and small things. Lying, stealing, and laying the gypsies for. Signing and sealing and knowing the price of all things and the value of nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Wheelers and Dealers from the album Lynx, sung by Mark Murphy. Well, I began by reminiscing about a photograph I saw of him at Ronnie Scott's with Ella Fitzgerald, and I asked him to tell me about his beginnings and his inspirations.
Maybe the first one was Nat Cole, probably, but then I became a Peggy Lee freak, and she taught me so much about not only how to phrase words and put the audience in the song. The music that she did never left me. And Shirley Horn was also, I think we were both derivative of Peggy Lee.
So did they really take you under their wing and help you? I mean, Sammy Davis was a massively lucky night when he
That confirmation, I must have been about 25 when he came into that club in Syracuse. And to have someone like that dig what you're doing, it helps to qualify you to yourself, you know.
Before you started doing jazz, you were singing in your brother's band, but did you think you had, a good swing feel? Did you think you were naturally drawn to jazz and you had the ability to improvise at that early stage?
It didn't all come together at once. I would say I wasn't really a together finished singer until I was about 40.
Really?
Which is 40 years ago. And but then I could sort of tell myself to do it, and I did it, you know. So yeah. Not an easy form to learn, but I finally found out that I just, from my mother, got the rhythmic feeling, because she was a flapper when she was in the 20s, you know. And then my father's voice stayed with me, and he was overjoyed with my first record, you know.
But you said you didn't feel like you were a jazz singer until you were 40, but you did some amazing records, especially perhaps what's now become a classic, and it's just been re-released, was the album Raw with the great Bill Evans, Wynton Kelly, Clark Terry. And that year you were voted New Star of the Year in Downbeat's Reader's Poll. I mean, that must have been a fantastic time for you. I mean, did you know you were making such a brilliant record? How did it feel being around those guys?
Sometimes I think, why am I doing this, you know? Because I would try to sort of dip into the pop thing and all dismal successes. But actually, the first accidental little hit I had on the American charts was in a song called Fly Me to the Moon. When I got to London, I found that Fly Me to the Moon had done well in the charts there too, so I decided, well, I better stay here for a while.
Yeah.
9 years.
Okay. Hmm. Well, before I go on with other questions, and eventually we'll start taking some questions from our celebrity panel, perhaps you'd be so kind as to sing a song for us now to...
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can
very
I introduce
much.
You to my
please do.
Accompanist, George Mesterházy?
Please do.
Someone told someone, and someone told you. But they wouldn't hurt you, not much. And since everyone tells the story with his own little personal touch. Do nothing till you hear from me. Pay no attention to what's said. Why people tear the seam of anyone's dream is over my head. Do nothing till you hear from me. At least consider romance. If you should take the word of others you've heard, I ain't got a chance to have been seen with someone new. But does that mean I've been untrue the way I feel? The words in my heart reveal how I feel about you. Some kiss may cloud my memory, and other arms reach out to me. But please do nothing till you hear it from me. And you never will. So meet me at no particular place, and I'll be there at no particular
continue the conversation by asking him about the relationship he has with George Mesterházy and how important it is to have synergy with your pianist. And I also asked him how they met up.
He's played for years for Shirley Horn, and now we're getting a wonderful rapport together. So it almost doesn't have to be rehearsed, you know.
Perhaps we'll just get one of the questions. We've got celebrity panel here. We're going to start asking some questions from them before we ask you to sing another song. Then perhaps if anyone in the audience wants to ask Mark. So let's go ladies first and go to a bit of a national treasure, Grammy-nominated ECM recording artist and an all-round great, great woman. Very inspirational to all of us in the room. Norma Winston. Norma Winston is here.
Yeah! Well, Mark, John Hendricks said you used to go and listen to him and Dave Lambert. But I wondered if, when you started, what was there any particular instrumentalist or singer that made you think that you could do this kind of thing, this improvisation with your voice? Was
well,
there any...
I had a lovely auntie, my Aunt Mary, who took an interest in me, and I was about this high, and she's taught me my first jazz chords and made it probably possible in my wee brain at time that I could sing like this. But it never sort of occurred to me that I should be a jazz singer. So I went to college and took a drama course. But while I was doing that, I was going downtown to listen and sing with singers down there, and a wonderful pianist, Bill Rubenstein, sort of really opened my ears up to the way he played bop on the piano. And, well, I don't know. Do you know an album I made called Song for the Geese?
Yes.
Well, that's not bop. It's beyond bop. I do scat work in that, but it's not really derivative of the older tradition of bop. But
so was it sort of one particular instrumentalist? It's a mixture of all those things that at the beginning, but it's specifically your aunt who really... Because you had piano lessons when you were seven.
My dear aunt, she and when she was failing, they'd wrap her up in blankets and bring her up to Syracuse to hear a concert I did. And my dear Nana, we called her Nana, called me the bathroom soprano. So I would get in the bathroom and sing all for hours. She couldn't shut me up. But finally, my voice changed, and I had to sing.
Do you think, Mark, you might perhaps give us another song? I know he's got a gig tonight, but come on, let's have another song.
I don't know a song for anything. I'm going to sing a song. It was introduced by Nat King Cole. Again, this couldn't happen again. This is that once in a lifetime. This is the thrill divine. Oh, what's more? This never happened before. Oh, I have prayed for a lifetime that such as you could suddenly appear. Mine to hold, as I'm holding you now. Never so near. Am I to have when the now and the here disappear? Yeah, what matters, dear? For when this never happens again, we'll have this moment forever, but never, never.
Again, performed by Mark Murphy with pianist George Mesterhazy, recorded at Morley College back in 2012. And such a moving rendition of that song, bringing back such wonderful memories of that wonderful afternoon we spent with him. And I know he is already much missed, the great Mark Murphy. On Jazz Lineup, it's always a pleasure welcoming our regular contributor Kevin Legendre to the studio for his popular feature called Now's the Time, where he selects a classic album of recent times and reassesses it. Well, here he is with Jazz Lineup's Julian Joseph talking about Prelude to Heart is a Lotus by pianist Michael Garrick and his sextet. The album also features the late Jamaican-born bassist Coleridge Good, who passed away this year at the age of 100. Let's hear Julian and Kevin talking about the great bassist, followed by a track from the featured album.
Let's talk a bit about the personnel, because we are talking about Coleridge Good, who was an immense contributor to jazz history and so important to the British scene.
That's right. Somebody who came from Jamaica in the late 30s, studied in Glasgow, initially didn't want to be a jazz musician, fell into the jazz scene in Glasgow and then came to London, ended up playing with the likes of Ray Ellington, drummer and bandleader, the great violinist Stefan Grappelli, the guitar prodigy Django Reinhardt, the Jamaican alto saxophonist Joe Harriet, and then had this long-running association with Michael Garrick that went on for a couple of decades. They started playing together in the 60s. They worked together a lot. And he became one of Garrick's, I think, most important contributors in terms of having like a really, really stable, very accomplished bass player who could give him what he needed. Because Michael Garrick, for me, first and foremost, is about composition. He's one of the great British jazz composers who, as you hear in this music, is able to weave all of these lovely layers and these melodies and counter-melodies into his music. And Coleridge is this rock-steady presence on the bass with this rich tone. The combination works really well.
So his application of electronics to the bass and to amplification, he was a pioneer, one of the first to ever do this.
Absolutely. The way that he built his own amplifiers, and also just his, I think, his ability to use sound and to use tone and to play at the right volume, to, as you say, to be a little bit louder when he needed to be without sacrificing his sensitivity. I think all of that comes through on this record, which is a success first and foremost because of the grace and the finesse of the sounds. There's a floating, sort of fluttering quality running through all of this music. I think it's very ethereal in a lot of places. And Coleridge has this big, quite rich sound that underpins it and anchors it, but he doesn't overplay and he's not too loud in places.
So we're going to move to Song by the Sea. This is a very emotive piece. Coleridge really gets an opportunity to shine here.
Absolutely. This is his moment where he takes a lovely bass solo and scats at the same time. And you hear his melodic sensibility, you hear his voice as well, and you hear that control of the bass that we were talking about before, that lovely tone.
This piece also features the celeste.
Celeste, which has a kind of bell-like, almost a music box quality in places. It's something that I think follows on nicely from the use of the harpsichord, where Michael, again, referring to his classical background and maybe also his interest in religious music as well, all of that's coming through. It's almost like a liturgy.
Thank you.
Song by the Sea, taken from the album Prelude to Heart is a Lotus by the Michael Garrick Sextet. But let's finish today with a pianist whose music touched so many of us on the British jazz scene, the much-loved, awe-inspiring John Taylor, who passed away this year, aged 72. Well, here he is, recorded at the BBC Jazz Awards back in 2006, playing Steve Swallow's composition Up Too Late, the late, great John Taylor. Until next time from me, Claire Martin, bye-bye. Thank you.
was Up Too Late by John Taylor, ending this week's jazz lineup. The programme was presented by Claire Martin and was produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. If you'd like more information, go to the programme page via the Radio 3 website. And Jazz Lineup will be back next Saturday at 5.
The new year is almost upon us. But let's look back, because what a year it's been on Radio 3.
And Sir Simon Rattle, bowing from the podium.
Well, my goodness, what a stunning place this is to start the day.
Welcome back to the most exquisite jewelbox that is the Sam Wanamaker Playhouse.
Join us live in high-definition four-channel surround sound.
Join me, Katie Derham, to revisit some of the highlights of the past year on Radio 3. Great radio moments, from dramas and documentaries to premieres and, oh yes, some proms. Radio 3's Pick of the Year, at 1 o'clock this Monday, here on BBC Radio 3.
Well, now it's time to go to English National Opera for a performance of Verdi's The Force of Destiny, recorded last month at the Coliseum in London. It's introduced by Donald MacLeod.
If, like me, you've always thought of Verdi's opera La Forza del Destino with its tale of pathological revenge as a flawed masterpiece full of great music but hampered by its implausible coincidences and giant leaps of time, then I feel sure this triumphant, hard-hitting new production of The Force of Destiny for English National Opera by the Catalan director Calixto Bieto will convince you of just what a powerful piece of music drama this is. It's magnificently sung by the soprano Tamara Wilson as Leonora, tenor Gwyn Hughes-Jones as Alvaro, baritone Anthony Michaels Moore, Carlo, bass James Creswell, the Father Superior, and Renat Shaham, Preziosilla, with the chorus of English National Opera, chorus master Stephen Harris, and the English National Opera Orchestra, leader Janice Graham. The performance is conducted by ENO's music director Mark Wigglesworth. This is a co-production with the Metropolitan Opera New York and Canadian Opera Company Toronto. You'll find photos of the production and a synopsis on the Opera on Three pages of the Radio 3 website. We're hearing the opera sung in a new English translation by Jeremy Sams from the original libretto by Francesco Maria Piave. Acts 1 and 2 will start in about 15 minutes' time. Instead of the setting of Verdi's original in Spain and Italy in about the middle of the 18th century, the director Calixto Bieto keeps the whole story in Spain, but transplants this saga of hatred and revenge to the fanatical, patriarchal society locked in the conflict of the Spanish Civil War, which divided families and ravaged Bieto's home country in the 1930s, thereby exposing the bloody heart of the opera's human tragedy. Bieto's described the opera as an austere oratorio in chiaroscuro and says that for him, particularly moments like the Rataplan aria, this is a work with very personal resonance.
I think in a way I'm telling a lot of personal stuff with this La Forza del Destino. And I was remembering as well a lot the stories my grandmother was telling me. These stories about the sound of the Rataplan, the sound of the shots in the evenings and the corpses in the morning. It was a confrontation between two Spains and with even families, and the wounds, in a way, are still open.